All right, let's go ahead and read Numbers 14 and verse number 6, and we'll read a couple of verses. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. And let's pray for Sunday school. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time and for this privilege to one more time stand before your people here at Shining Light Baptist and bring a message. And Lord, we just pray that you'd bless this Sunday school hour. Help us, Lord, to learn some things, some practical things from the life of Caleb that we can put into practice in our own lives. And I pray that you'd be with the other classes throughout the building now and bless them as well. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we see that Caleb is a man that is admired by many, many people. And the reason he is admired by many, many people is he was a good man. He was loyal, faithful to the end. And I can really appreciate that in a person. And a hard worker, a trusted God. But just by quick way review, and we can see that he was a ruler, but that never prevented him from stooping so low that he couldn't do it. You know, there was no job beneath him. He was willing to, being a ruler didn't matter. He just wanted to serve. And that was point one. Point two was he was able to get along to work with other people. And if you're going to accomplish anything for God, you're going to have to be able to get along with other people. That's just the way it is. You know, you can't build a business one person. You have to have other people. You have to interact with other people at least. You could be the sole proprietor of a business. It doesn't matter. You're going to have to interact with other people. If you don't have any clients, you don't have a business. So you got to learn to interact with other people and be able to work with other people the same way in the church. He was willing to listen to his leader, even though his leader was a sinful man, just like he was. And Moses made a lot of mistakes in his life. And every man and every woman makes a lot of mistakes in their life. But he was still willing to follow his leader, even though he was a man who made mistakes. The leader did. And he obeyed, and he obeyed God instantly. He obeyed Moses. He had a great heart, a servant's heart. He wasn't, you know, some people just seem like every time you can have somebody under you in a job, in a position, you could be their supervisor. And every time you say anything to them, it turns into a debating society.
Does.
You know, rather than simply doing what you're supposed to do. You know, they just want to argue with you about everything. Maybe that's your situation in your home. I don't know. Or with other people in your lives. I don't know. But he was willing to obey authority and obey instantly. And by the way, you can't obey God if you cannot obey your God-given authority over you.
Amen.
It's just as simple as that.
Okay?
When children obey their parents, they are also disobeying God.
There you go.
Okay, so children cannot obey God and disobey their parents. And same with us in many instances. All right. I think that's where we were. Now, we're going to pick up today in Numbers. We can see that he was willing to be in the minority. Now, here in verse number 6, it says they rent their clothes. Now, who knows what that means for a Jewish person to rend their clothes? What would that signify? Yeah, great grief. Great sorrow. Not just, you know, wow, I'm having a bad day. But I mean, it was a sign of remorse. It was a deep turmoil. It was a deep sorrow within them. And here was Caleb sent on a mission, fully expecting to come back, give the good news to the people, and expecting them to go in and possess this good land that God has given them. And he gives his report, and as he and Joshua give their report, then the other 10 rise up and give a negative report, and the nation rebels against God. And it broke his heart.
Wow.
He was grieving. Now, in modern-day Christianity, if somebody in the church messes up, does something wrong, sins against God, we get angry at them. But how often do we grieve that the work of the Lord has been hindered? How often is it that we are really sorry?
You're right.
No, folks, We're in this all together, like it or not, for better or for worse. And what you do affects other people, and what you do affects your church. And we got to understand this. And these 10 people persuaded the entire nation not to enter in, and a whole generation lost the blessing of God.
Wow.
They had to die off before they could enter in.
Wow.
You know, and it broke his heart. And so he was willing. I mean, that's why he rent his clothes. Very good, but you knew that. Faye and Miss Duffy both raised their hands on that one. Notice this also. I'm sorry, I'm coughing so much. Did Caleb see the giants in the land?
Yes.
Did Caleb and Joshua see the fortifications of the enemy, the walled cities?
Yes.
Did they see huge armies that would have to be overcome?
Yes.
Did they see natural defenses like rivers that have to be forded and hills, mountains that have to be scaled to get to the towers? Did they see that?
Yes.
The same. They saw the same thing the other 10 saw.
Mm-hmm.
And yet when they came back, they didn't talk about any of that stuff. They just talked about all the good stuff.
Yes, sir, they did.
And said, God is well able.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me ask you this. Since these people would have been in their 40s, well, they said 20 and up, right? They would have been in Egypt as slaves, as adults. In Egypt, did they see the plagues that Moses brought up, that God brought upon?
Yes, they did. Oh, yes, they did.
I'm talking about the 10 spies. No. They were there, too. Did they see the Red Sea parted? Now, that was kind of an obstacle, don't you think? Here you have basically an unarmed mob, a group of civilians who had been slaves, and, you know, they don't have a lot of skills because they've just been manual laborers. They've been beaten into submission. They're slaves. They don't have weapons. They don't have an army. And they are pinned against a natural barrier, the Red Sea. They can't go that way. They can't go anyway. They're hemmed in by one of the most sophisticated and powerful armies of that time.
Mm.
Egypt was a world power. They had a first-class army, and they've got them hemmed in. Now, did those 10 spies see the pillar of fire by night and
yes,
a pillar of cloud by day that protected them? Did they see the Red Sea open up? Did they go across on dry land? Did they turn around and watch Egypt come and watch God collapse water on them? What's the difference? They all saw the same thing. Think about it a second. What's the difference? The difference is in Joshua and Caleb. They were willing to trust God. They knew by experience the same thing the other people should have known by experience. Yeah, they got mighty towers. So what? So did Egypt. Yeah, they got huge armies. So did Pharaoh. What happened to Pharaoh? Okay. Not one Egyptian survived crossing the Red Sea, and not one Hebrew drowned crossing the Red Sea, and Israel did nothing to defeat that huge army, and yet they all died in the Red Sea. Well, if God could do that, don't you think he could maybe, like, you know, make the walls of Jericho fall down? Jericho was a huge city. It was like one of the royal cities. It was not going to be conquered easily by natural means. But they weren't going to conquer the land by natural means. God, and that's what Caleb said here. Let me see. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land.
Amen.
He doesn't even talk about all the obstacles. They are nothing.
That's right.
And what do we do in our life? Now, be real. I do this too. When we have difficult times in our lives and we have obstacles, what do we focus on? Oh, thank you, brother. We focus on the obstacles. Oh, man. That's going to last me for 2 weeks. Thank you.
Amen.
Cough drops. You're just like me. I'm just like you. And we look at the obstacles, the difficulties you have. How are we going to overcome this? And the obstacles grow. We even incorporate in our language.
Mm-hmm.
We're making a mountain out of a
molehill.
Have you ever seen a molehill out in your yard? I mean, they're disgusting. I hate them. But, I mean, you know, you can walk over to a molehill, and it's gone till a little critter sticks his head back up again. But then, you know, that's what they make decon and shotguns for, you know. Get rid of those things. Now, the mountain, I can go out here and kick it all day long, and it's not moving. Well, wherever Mount Lemmon is over there, we can go. But we make mountains out of molehills many times. And that's what these ten spies did. Joshua, Moses, they didn't consider it. Yeah. Yeah, they are. We do have giants. Yeah, there are giants out there.
Yeah.
The harder, or the bigger they are, the harder they fall, you know.
Yep.
And so here, he was a man. He was willing to stand in the minority and trust God for the victory. Now, as you're out in the workplace, you'll find out it's different on the job than it is at church. On the church, you know, basically everybody agrees with you and you agree with everybody about most things. Not everything, because we're individuals, but most things. I mean, how many of you believe Jesus is the Son of God?
Amen. Oh,
well, some of you need to get your heart right with God, okay? Oh, there we go. Now hands start coming up, okay? How many of you believe that God is a triune God, a Trinity? Okay, there you go. How many believe Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins? How many believe the only way to heaven is through faith in Jesus Christ? Hey, well, we all agree. Wow, wonderful. Now go to work and try to discuss those topics. But he was willing to be in the minority and take a stand with God and for God. And in the world, we're going to have to be able to do the same thing if we're going to be anything like Caleb. I'm kind of blending some of these together because I do want to finish this if I can. Let me get my clock out. Okay. Just 1 point left. Oh, time's up. One more point. There we go. Okay, there we go. So I got 30 minutes left to do about 25 points. Now, having all the character traits that Caleb had, his faithfulness, his loyalty, his work ethic, his willingness to trust God, his willingness to stand alone, his willingness to follow his leaders, even though his leader is a flawed human like he is, he was still willing to get involved. And we can know all the doctrine, like those four or five doctrines I just spotted out. How many of you believe this? You know, you all raised your hand. And all those doctrines, we all believe those. But are we willing to get involved? You know, you can believe this book from cover to cover and never do anything else.
Right.
Never do anything for God. So, what good has that been?
That's right.
I mean, if you're saved, you're saved. You're going to heaven. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen.
Amen.
But he was willing to get involved. Numbers 14, let me see where I turned my page here. And go back to Numbers, verse number 1, 14:1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. What were they crying about? Well, they were fearful. Yeah, they all right. And they were, a judgment had been pronounced because of their unwillingness to go into the land. A judgment, as you said, Miss Duffy, they weren't allowed in, and now they're sorry, and they're wailing and they're crying and they're about all this and complaining and it's kind of a sad commentary on today's society is have you ever seen anything on YouTube or on the news about some horrible crime that's happening? I mean, there's 25 people standing around and all of them have their cameras out and they're videotaping that. And how many of them called the police?
Yeah, you're right.
How many of them was willing to get in and get involved? Okay. Now, if you're a small woman, I would not advise you to go up and thump on some big guy that's beating up on some other guy, okay?
Amen.
Please don't do that, all right?
Amen, buddy.
But you can call the police, and you can holler at that person, let him know he's being filmed, let him know that you're going to, I will testify, I'm watching you, and you can send for help, and but Caleb wasn't that way. He was willing to get involved. He's the one who said, no, this is not right. We can go in. God is able. God is well able. And if God delights in us, in other words, if we will do what God wants us to do, if our heart would be right with God's heart, then God will delight in us, and we can accomplish this. Nobody else, well, except for Joshua, nobody else in that group was willing to do that. And so we have to be willing to get involved. And sometimes that means you have to get involved in things that, you know, are uncomfortable. You know, you just, look, the holidays are coming, right?
Yep.
How many of you have family coming in from out of town?
You didn't.
Nobody? Boy, we are a bunch of lonely people, aren't we? We don't have any friends. Even our families don't like us.
We have God.
We have God, amen. How many of you are going to go, since nobody come to your house, how many of you are going to go to somebody else's house for the holidays? All right, there we go. Thank you. Get a few hands up. Now, let me ask you a question. Is every single person in your family at the house you're going to go visit right with God?
No.
No. Do you think the topic of religion is going to come up?
Yep.
And are you willing to stand for God? You don't have to be bombastic. You don't have to jump up on top of the table and, you know, preach a 3-point outline to them.
Amen.
Okay. You don't have to do that, but are you willing to politely take a stand for God?
There you go.
Listen, your relatives, if they're not right with God, many of them probably aren't saved. How are they going to get saved? They have to hear the truth.
Right.
I mean, they have to hear it. I mean, did you get saved before you heard the gospel?
No,
that's an impossibility. You cannot get saved if you don't hear the gospel.
Amen.
You heard the gospel. You received the gospel. You were born again by faith alone in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, everybody you come in contact needs to be saved the same way, but they won't get saved unless they hear it, unless they hear how. Again, you don't have to be bombastic. You don't have to be rude.
Amen.
But you can take a stand.
Yes, sir, we can.
Caleb would. Mm-hmm. Caleb would. Be willing to get involved. Also, be when it comes to getting involved, it's not just doctrine and discussing things and presenting the gospel. But, you know, when Pastor got up and talked about Darlene's passing and so forth, and, well, I don't know if that was recorded, so I don't know if I want to say anything else. But you heard what he said. Anybody going to jump in and do some of the things that he suggested? Are you willing to get involved to help? I mean, look, anytime one of our church members lose a family member,
Amen.
They're hurting.
Yes,
they're part of this church. And we ought to hurt. There's no way we can hurt to the same degree that they hurt.
Right.
All right? We understand that.
That's good, Brother Neil.
But it should touch your heart.
That's right.
There should be some compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And if for nothing else, there should be some compassion on the relatives that are left behind.
Amen.
And are you willing to help? Are you willing to get involved? Are you willing to get involved in the mission goal? Getting pretty close to halfway, but this is November.
Yeah.
And when's this? March? April?
End of March.
End of March. So we still got a lot of work to do.
Yes, we do.
Are you willing to get involved?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Knowing the entire Bible from Genesis 1:1. To Revelation 22:21, which I know you all memorized because that was your memory verse for this week, right? Remember I gave you all those verses?
Yeah.
No. But knowing every single one of those verses and how to properly apply every single one of those verses,
Amen.
Won't accomplish anything if you don't get involved.
It's good,
get involved. Good. We're leaving. Faye and I are gone. This is our last Sunday here. And when we do come back, when and if and whenever that'll be, you know, only the Lord knows that.
Yeah, that's right.
And so who's going to take our place?
Uncle B. Uncle
No, he said, well, Brother Fred's going to teach the class. That's not the point.
That's right.
Brother Fred does other stuff.
Amen.
So he's going to have to take away from that. And when the church grows, sometimes we have to split that class because we get too many little kids, or sometimes we have too many big kids. We need help, okay?
Yeah, we do, but
who's going to take our place?
That's right.
Who's going to get involved? Yeah. And if it has nothing to do with taking our place, there's going to be other needs in the church that pop up.
That's right.
And probably existing right now if we go looking for them and talk to pastor about them. Who's going to get involved? You know Caleb would?
Mm-hmm.
He would. He was willing not to trust himself to God's protection. In chapter 14, again, verse 10, but all the congregation bade stone them with stone. Who were they going to stone? Joshua and Caleb. Their own people were going to stone them because of what they brought up. It says, but you don't see them running. You don't see them quaking in fear. Nothing is mentioned about that. It just simply says the whole congregation bade stone in the stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Caleb, Joshua, Moses, they were willing to stand with God, and they were willing to trust God for their deliverance. Reminiscence of the three Hebrew children. King Nebuchadnezzar, you know, he built the huge idol. They didn't bow down. He gives them a second chance. Okay, all right, fellas, maybe you didn't understand this, okay?
Yeah.
But here's what's going to happen. We're gonna play the music again, and he goes through some instruments. And when you hear that, everybody bows down, and if you bow down, you'll be spared. But if you don't, we're going to cast you into fire, and who's that God that can deliver you? And they had no problem answering. They weren't rude. They weren't belligerent. They weren't ready to fight the king. They simply said, not up to you, king. It's up to God. Our God is able to deliver us. And he will deliver us. But if not, we will not bow. But, oh, okay, get me the biggest guys. You know, they got the Arnold Schwarzeneggers and Brother Luttrells and all the, you know, the big, tough, big dudes, you know, out there and wrapped them up, tied them up, took them up to the top of the furnace and as they're shoving them out in front of them to push them in the fire, the flames overcome them and the guards are killed and they tumble down in. Fire didn't hurt them one bit. When they got to the bottom of the pit, you know who they found? The Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus was walking in the flames with them and they were unhurt. They were having a nice, cool time down there. The guards were dead. The king doesn't know what to make of it. He's looking there astonished. Bring him out. But see, they were willing to take a stand no matter the consequences. And we need to be that way if we're going to be like Caleb, if we're going to serve God with our whole heart. Excuse me. He was willing to trust God for his protection. And that's what we're going to have to do. If you take a stand, then you're stepping out on a limb and you don't have the protection of the crowd and you're making yourself a target and you're just going to have to trust God. When David went to fight Goliath, who did he have to trust? God. Now, he had some skills, but he never fought in a battle. And he had to trust God to help him with those skills, because those skills might not be enough. I mean, using a slingshot against a guy in armor with a shield in front of him, you know, probably isn't the best choice of weapons. But with God, it was all he needed.
Yes, sir.
But he was willing to trust God. The king tried to give him his own armor, remember? Saul tried to put him in the armor.
Yeah, he did.
King was the largest man in the nation, so his armor would be rather large on anybody, let alone on a young man like David. And I can't go out in this stuff. I look silly, and I can't move. And this, I'll just go out with what God has given me.
Yeah.
The clothes I have, my sandals will be just fine. My staff that I use, it'll work. My sling will work just fine. And I'm going to trust God. And God's going to, because remember when he talked to, when Goliath was mocking him, he said, his God is going to kill you.
Yeah.
My God is going to kill you. And God's going to deliver you into my hands. So he's able, willing to trust God for his deliverance. For his protection, I'm sorry. Appreciate you putting up with my head cold. Let's go ahead and we'll look down at, well, just think about this for a second. When Moses eventually passes off the scene, 40 years passes, and you don't see Caleb, the other night, last week, I was kind of making fun of the nation of Israel, how Caleb had to put up with, you know, stomping around the desert for 40 years, but you don't see him being vindictive. You don't see him, you know, preaching long sermons on I told you so. You don't see him complaining about having to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And he knew it was all didn't have to be. He knew he didn't have to be doing this. He could have, they could be in the land, enjoying the land, building their farms, building their ranches, building their cities, and worshiping God. But instead, they're wandering around the wilderness waiting for everybody to die. And so was Joshua. Now, Moses passes off the scene. Okay? Aaron's gone. Moses is gone. Now, we need a new leader to lead us into the land. And there were two people who'd already spied out the land. And they both came back with good reports. And you find, when you read stories about them, you can find them standing for God, being men of God who was willing to risk their lives for God and who fought for the Lord. And that was Joshua and that was Caleb. And God chose Joshua. Now, you don't see a spirit of bitterness. He could have said, I have done everything. I have given up everything to serve God. I have done what, I did everything that Joshua, I went into the land. I spied out the land also. I was out there. I was willing to risk my life to be stoned when the nation turned their back on the promised land when they rebelled against God. I have stood firm for God. I have worked hard. I have fought hard. And I don't even get an honorable mention. See, he was willing to take a back seat to somebody who was his equal. He was willing to take a back seat. Now, that means that there are times, maybe, you have the best skills for a job, but the boss chooses someone else. Now, you can try to subvert the person who has been chosen to be put in a place of leadership. It happens in churches all the time.
Yes, sir.
People push to become a deacon. They try real hard.
Amen.
They go around and talk to everybody about them becoming a deacon. And then they have an election of officers and they're not elected.
Wow.
And rather than graciously helping the men that are deacons, they do what they can to undermine them so that they will either quit, give up, or the long game is that they will get to replace them in the next election.
Amen.
Is that the spirit of Christ?
No.
Now, we understand that Jesus is God, correct?
Amen.
Okay. But did he submit his will to the Father? Yeah. So even Christ, the Creator, submitted his will to the will of the Father. And don't ask me to explain the Trinity. I don't have time. Number one. Number two, I don't understand it. Number three, neither do you. So we just take that as an article of faith. God says it, so we believe it. All right?
It is done.
But Christ was willing to submit himself.
That's right.
Did Christ, remember when he was standing before Pilate? And Pilate said, he's not answering him. He says, answer me not. Don't you know I can set you free? Don't you know I can crucify you? And the Lord just simply says, you don't have any power against me except it's given from above. He was willing to submit himself to the death of the cross because that was the Father's will. And if we get passed over for promotion, Do we fume? Do we fret? Do we complain? Do we do our very best for the person that got promoted over us? Or do, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, you answer those questions yourself, okay? I know what Caleb would do, because we have an example. We can see whenever you're reading about him and Joshua in the Promised Land, they're interacting. And he's one of some, yeah, he would make his case. He would come to Joshua and say, hey, I want that mountain. I want that one. I don't want that one. I want that one. I want that mountain. Give me more. Give me more. I want that. He was willing to make his case. But whatever his leader said, he was also willing to accept and do. So he's willing to take a back seat to someone who was his equal. Joshua 14, verse number 9. 14, number 9. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. He knew they would, if they went in, they would be victorious. And he reminded the people that God had promised to give them that land. And look at verse 10. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before the children of Israel. Again. I'm sorry, I'm doing my best. It's cold. It's bothering me. He was willing to wait. As you recall the story, the nation of Israel rebels against God. They do not go into the Promised Land. One second. Did they try? They did. God said, go in. They said, no, we won't go. It's too hard. It's too many people. And say, okay, guys, okay, you can't go in. You get wandering around the wilderness for 40 years till that generation dies. They said, no, we'll go in. And they tried to go in. Was it 36 of them got killed? They were roundly, soundly defeated. But Caleb, he didn't try to go in. Once God passed the decree, good enough for me. Good enough for me. And he was willing to wait those 40 years until that generation died off. Then he and Joshua, finally as old men, get to go into the land they were promised as middle-aged men. But he was patient. He was willing to wait for the promises of God. And too many people are not patient. And they quit. They give up too soon. They're not patient with their spouse, so they get a divorce. They're not patient with their church, so they leave or split the church. They're not patient with their job, so they quit. They're not patient, and you just see them floating from position to position to position because they're not willing to put in the time that is required. This is a funny little story. When I was 12, I read about Admiral Farragut, going back War of 1812, okay? You might remember that, Brother Kelly. I wasn't born yet. But going back to the War of 1812, Admiral Farragut, well, had nothing to do with his war experience. It just said he was a feisty guy. I mean, he was really out in there able to fight and always on the go, on the march, very aggressive. Said on his 60th birthday, he did a handstand just to prove he could do it. Yeah. I read that when I was 12. Okay, I'm an idiot, all right? I readily admit that. I'm stupid. So when I was 12, you know what I decided, Brother Duffy? On my 60th birthday, I'd do a handstand. Okay, you do the math. 60 minus 12, 48. 48 years after I made that vow, Brother Kelly, there was nobody around. I don't know where they were, so I went down to the office because I wanted soft padding to land on. And I did a handstand. Nobody saw me. I didn't care. But you know, 48 years is a long time.
Yes, sir.
And that was just a silly thing. It didn't mean anything to anybody, okay? Amen. Other than just proving something to myself, I could do it. But I just wonder, how patient are we with people in our lives? How patient are we willing to wait before we'll throw them overboard? How patient are we before we give up on God? we give up on church. How patient are we really? And not about some stupid thing like doing a handstand.
Yeah.
Which was really stupid because I had a heart attack a couple years before that. My head wasn't right anyway. So yeah, I didn't need to have my head inverted below my heart, even for a few seconds. But how patient are we? I want to be a deacon. Well, can you stay put in the church long enough to grow, mature, and one day as the church grows, you can become a deacon? That might take 15 years or 20 years.
Yep.
I want to teach a Sunday school class. There's a guy downstairs, Vista, and he wanted to work with the teens. Great guy, love him. But you know, when I was there, he wasn't ready to take it over. He wasn't. So I tried to get him to do some helping work first and mature him to the point that he could be of use somewhere one day. You have to be patient if you're going to accomplish great things for God. In Joshua also 14 verse 10. Numbers. No, I don't. I want Joshua. Quit interfering with my preaching. I want Joshua 14:10. It was the same verse, wasn't it? I didn't realize that earlier. Joshua chapter 4. I mean the same address, 14:10. Joshua chapter 14. And verse number 10. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and the children of it, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord. That's verse 9. Verse 10. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. He was 85, still serving God.
Amen.
See, he was willing to serve God his entire life. And folks, you need to be in this thing for the long run.
Amen.
If you want to be used of God. And if you don't accomplish goals this year, well, there's always next year. Now, I'm not making a case for being lackadaisical, okay? I'm just saying you're working towards something. You're trying.
Yes.
But it just isn't happening. Hang in there. Be patient.
Amen.
Continue to serve. David said, I was young, and now I am old.
Yep.
He's still serving God.
Amen.
Still serving God. And so, I want to encourage you as we depart today. We may never be back. We may be back.
Amen.
Maybe back next month. Maybe back next year. Who knows? We don't know. But I want to encourage you to serve God for the entirety of your life.
Amen.
You can be saved 40 years and backslide. Serve God for the entirety of your life. He was. He was 85, still serving God.
Amen.
If God's willing to bless Caleb, and to say that he had fully followed him, okay? First off, that's a great compliment for God to say that about you. And God doesn't flatter people. I don't know if you figured that out yet or not. He doesn't use flattery to get his way. He doesn't make false statements about people. If God said Caleb had wholly followed the Lord, then Caleb had wholly followed the Lord, because God said that about him. And if God was willing to bless Caleb for fully following him, remember this about God. For I am the Lord thy God. I change not. So if our unchanging God was willing to bless Caleb for wholly following him for his entire life, what do you think God, that unchanging God, is going to do for you if you wholly follow God for the entirety of your life? 2 + 2 = 4. Oh, let me see if we can figure this out. Unchanging God blesses people who wholly follow him. Okay? You wholly follow him. So what do you expect? I just want to encourage you to wholly follow God.
Amen.
Now, when I come back in a year or two, I'd like to see y'all.
Amen.
But if you quit on God, drop out of church, guess what?
You won't
see you.
You won't.
Now, I'm nobody. I'm just using this as an encouragement. I would like to see you.
Amen.
Here in church serving God. All right?
Serving you.
You know what? So would God.
Amen.
So would God. So let me encourage you to wholly, wholly follow the Lord. we're done. I was just looking for a verse here. I had a verse I was going to give you. No, that's not the verse I was looking for. I have a thought in my mind. That's terrible. I can't remember anything. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and I'll see if I can't find something here real quick for you to memorize. Father, I do thank you for this time. And Lord, I know I'm weak today, but then that's an opportunity for you to be strong. And I pray, God, that you just take what was said and use it to encourage people to wholly follow God and to serve God even in old age. And Lord, help us, if we can't do everything we want to do, to at least do the most that we can do. Bless these folks now. Bless this church in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, I forgot to pray for the treats. Another word of prayer about those real quick. And excuse me. Father, I do thank you for the food we're about to receive, the refreshments. We pray you'd bless them. We pray you'd use them to nourish our bodies and the fellowship to nourish our spirits. In Jesus' name, amen.